the Saturday Morning Update. 105.9 FM,
WMAL. Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Good to have you with us. Jeff Wolf behind the console. Jane Houghton, our producer. And we are social distancing this morning. It's been a week, but at least it's a week where we see some light at the end of the tunnel, and a lot of controversy surrounding the reopening of the country, the governors, the president. Interesting summary in the Washington Post. They summed it up, the reopening, and this is how they cast it. President Trump unveiling Thursday broad guidelines for states to follow as they begin reopening while leaving these specific plans to the governors. The guidance, formally introduced by the president at the White House briefing, provides state leaders a phased list of criteria to lift social distancing restrictions. For governors to start the process, they must first show coronavirus cases in their states are decreasing. Sounds pretty reasonable so far, doesn't it? I mean, this is the Washington Post reporting it, too. The guidance doesn't set a specific timeline, and Trump wouldn't hypothesize what the country will look like by milestone dates like Memorial Day, the 4th of July, and Labor Day. But Trump did predict that there are 29 states that can begin the opening soon, and several that could start the process right away, though he didn't name them. So that's kind of a summary of the reopening, and a lot of talk about testing. Big question mark about how many people can get tested. Should they be tested before they reopen? There's the big question of the states. You take a look at the state of Virginia. You have the concentrated population in Northern Virginia and Richmond, and then you have the widespread areas across the rest of much of Virginia. So there's a big question mark. Do you need to keep the entire state shut down, or do you only shut down the highly populated areas and then open the less populated areas? That's a big question of debate, much of it surrounding testing. And much of yesterday's press briefing, the Friday White House Coronavirus Task Force press briefing, was about testing. Here's how the vice president summed it up.
Our best scientists and health experts assess that today we have a sufficient amount of testing to meet the requirements of a phase one reopening if state governors should choose to do that.
That's the vice president. Here's what President Trump said about tests.
We'll be sending out 5.5 million testing swabs to the state. Swabs can be done easily by the governors themselves. Mostly it's cotton. It's not a big deal. You can get cotton easily, but if they can't get it, we will take care of it.
All right, we could get a little more technical than it's just cotton. We have Admiral Brett Giroir, and you may have seen him on a number of the briefings. And this is another one of the people on the task force that you just have the highest respect for. I mean, when you look at Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and so many of the key leadership on the coronavirus task force. And this is just another one of those people that gives you a level of confidence. And this is Admiral Brett Giroir, and he's talking about testing.
Yes, there have been constraining elements, and they're constrained for a couple reasons. Number one, because this is an unprecedented scale up of this type of very sophisticated molecular test.
And he continued to explain the testing.
We are really at a point right now that over the by the end of April, we'll put another 5 million swabs in addition to everything that's out there now. And by the end of May, over 12 million new swabs in the system.
And the question, of course, about testing, and it was posed to Anthony Fauci, and he summed it up very briefly.
The emphasis that we've been hearing is essentially testing is everything, and it isn't.
So that's a summary of things that are going on in the area of testing, at least as late as yesterday evening's White House Coronavirus Task Force press briefing, which went nearly 2 hours once again. Some of the United States planning to partially reopen in the coming weeks. Beaches may be reopening. The mayor of Las Vegas is not a Republican, Her name is Carolyn Goodman, and we've got some audio from Carolyn Goodman here, the mayor of Las Vegas, and she wants to get Las Vegas back in business.
Right now, we have less than one-half of 1% in fatalities. Any loss of life is tragic. But the reality is less than one-half of 1%. We are going to take 3.3 million people and cut them off from earning a living.
So that's the mayor of Las Vegas, and again, not a Republican. So that's some of the debate that is going on around the country. Now, we've got you covered from a number of different angles this morning because there's a lot more news surrounding the coronavirus and news surrounding politics. Of course, the origins of the virus, a really big question mark. A lot of information that the intel community is gathering. We'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer about that. Also, we will talk with Cheryl Atkinson, and we'll talk with Gordon Chang. And a lot of focus, a lot of emphasis on China, the way China behaves, misinformation, lack of information, or just plain cover-ups. We'll talk about that with Gordon and also with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. You might have noticed that President Obama came out and endorsed Joe Biden, as well as Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren endorsing Joe Biden this week. Elizabeth Warren putting in a bid to become the vice presidential nominee as well. We're going to talk about all that with John Gizzi. He's the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Joe Biden came out and said that he was going to name a woman as his vice presidential nominee, and so many people are talking about Mario Cuomo might be the right person for the vice presidential spot. We're going to ask Jennifer Harper what a poll of voters is showing when it comes to Vice President Biden's selection for a vice president. And also, as we continue on this Saturday morning update, we're going to be checking in as well with Cheryl Atkinson on some very interesting stories surrounding the coronavirus origins, too. So we got a lot going on here on the Saturday morning update. We're going to get the very latest on traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
So far, no delays as you travel on 395 northbound from Edsel Road to the 14th Street Bridge, but just keep in mind that the express lanes are closed between the Pentagon and the 14th Street Bridge. You will also find a work zone in Falls Church on eastbound 66 between the Connector Road and Fairfax Drive along the right side of the roadway. That is not causing any delays. Traveling on the Beltway, so far so good, but do watch out for some road work still in place on the outer loop between the Leesburg Pike and 66 along the left side. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
We're starting off this Saturday morning with scattered showers. The rain should taper off late morning, giving way to plenty of afternoon sunshine. But don't let it fool you. We'll be breezy and cool. Highs in the mid-50s. A freeze watch west tonight with lows in the 30s, low 40s east. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
48 degrees in Washington, 617 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update. It's great to have you with us. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Patty Olinger, and we're going to talk about the coronavirus outbreak from a little bit different standpoint this morning. She is a biorisk management and standards expert and registered biosafety professional. And Patty wrote an article back in January, Facing the Next Pandemic. It was in one of the trade journals, ISSA Today. She says, a pandemic is coming and we are not ready. Experts across the globe agree it's not if, but when. With the way this virus has exploded around the world, is it something that you or experts could have envisioned in this magnitude? Or is it anything you've seen like this before?
It's nothing that we've seen like this before. And, you know, I mean, back in 1918 when they had the Spanish flu, you know, so many people died and it spread across the world, but not at the pace that we're seeing now. And part of the reason is because we're so much more interconnected. So Bill Gates several years ago wrote that article about you know, the next, that there was a coming disease that could kill millions, and others have as well. And a lot of the reason for that is that if you look at how we are so interconnected, it only takes one plane ride, you know, from one country to another in the same day to bring something back with us or spread the virus. And that's what we're seeing here. You know, the thing that scares a lot of us is this issue of community spread, as well as, you know, the potential of airborne. And, you know, we know that touching a surface that's potentially contaminated and then touching our face is a major way that you can spread, you know, some of these diseases, and something like the COVID-19 and SARS-CoV-2. So those are things that we all feared and is happening today with this particular virus.
As I go through your CV, there are many references to biorisk and your experience and expertise with biorisks. And one of the big risks we are facing now is this big question of, do we go back to work now, or do we stay at home, stay in place for another 30 days? From your perspective and your expertise, what would you say?
That's a really good question. And, you know, I'll give you a couple kind of perspectives on that. If someone asked me, can you provide protection, you know, to someone if they needed to go out in public? Absolutely. I could sit down with them. I could put them in protective gear. I could work with them on how they take that protective gear, and, you know, they would be safe from that standpoint. What we're dealing with right now is, number one, it's an unseen enemy. You know, we can't see this virus, and now there's the question of people actually being able to spread the virus but not have symptoms, and that's kind of a scary thing when you think about it. So some of the fears that we have is it comes down to our own behaviors. And unfortunately, if there is still a higher, we'll say, prevalence, a higher amount of virus out in the community, then our own behaviors on things like touching a surface and touching our face is how potentially we could get the virus ourselves or spread it to somebody else who is more vulnerable. So the risk that we're looking at here is, how are we going to be able to behave, basically, it's hard to say, because you don't want to create individuals who are afraid. It's more of, let's respect the situation that we have now, and let's put in place and let's remember our own behaviors so that we can prevent, basically, infection or contamination spreading to other places and then infecting others or yourself.
Let me ask you this question. I went to a grocery store, and there's a big sign on the door, as there are many signs on the doors in this area, that say, unless you are wearing a mask or face protection, you can't come in the store. I had my mask on. I went in the store. None of the staff was wearing masks. Mm-hmm. Suppose you're in that situation, or you suppose you're just somewhere else and there are people who are around you that are not wearing masks and they're not keeping their 6-foot distance. In other words, you're doing everything you can to protect yourself, but other people aren't following the rules. What do you do?
Well, you are making a really good point. And I think that, you know, as just individuals, we have to weigh the risk from a standpoint, if we want to get back to what the new normal, whatever that new normal will be, we have to really pay attention. I'll get back to that, our own behaviors again. You know, from a standpoint of, if you're going into a store and the store is saying you need to be wearing masks and they're not having their own employees, well, you know, that's where the store managers really need to say, hey, we are asking you to provide protection to us, and we want to protect you. And, you know, we're actually launching GBAC, and ISSA is launching a program called GBAC Star in May. And it's helping institutions put in place cleaning, disinfection, and also what we're calling infectious disease prevention programs. One of the big messages that we have to think about is, you know, we need to work together to get back to normal and to take control. I mean, our healthcare workers are really showing up. They're you know, one of the reasons why, you know, we're in the situation is so that we don't overwhelm our health care and, you know, behaving in such a way that we're cleaning, sanitizing, disinfecting our spaces at work. We're holding our businesses accountable. I mean, as individuals, when we're going into these places, you know, asking them, it's okay to ask, what are you doing to protect me? You know, if you go to a hotel, we see that little symbol that says, we are green and sustainable. And that's awesome. They're, you know, saving the environment. You know, we want to see a GBAC star on the, on their facilities and, or, you know, something that says, you know, which would tell you that, you know, they're doing whatever they need to do to protect you and to protect their, our employees. And I, that's going to be something that's changing going forward, is that expectation. We knew that there was a connection between cleaning and health in the past, and, you know, we took it for granted for many years. And it's time now that we're going to have to really pay attention to that. And those are things that we can do as individuals.
That is Patty Olinger, and she is the Executive Director of GBAC, the Global Biorisk Advisory Council. And Patty, we thank you very much for being with us here on the Saturday Morning Update. It's 6:25, and we've got Jennifer Harper coming up with some interesting insight into how the voters are feeling. And also, a classic moment with Chuck Schumer. If you haven't heard this, stick around.
Hi, this is Mary Walter with a reminder for you to depend on WMAL through the coronavirus challenge. Our team continues to provide you with the most complete information, including our daily live broadcast of the White House Coronavirus Task Force briefings. We thank our sponsors for their support and encourage you to continue to support our WMAL advertisers now and after the crisis passes. Thank you for your support of WMAL.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
At Whole Foods Market, we're here for you. So we're adjusting store hours and opening 1 hour earlier for senior customers 60 years old and above. For your specific store details, please visit WholeFoodsMarket.com/stores.
At Hadid Rug and Carpet Cleaning Service, we understand these are uncertain times. But Joe Hadid wants you to know we are open and ready to serve our customers and our community. And keeping you safe is our top priority. So we're adhering to rigorous health and safety protocols, allowing us to continue to keep your rugs clean and safe from dirt, allergens, and bacteria. Because we know how important a clean rug is to the health and safety of your home, right now Joe is offering 50% off his sanitize and disinfectant treatment. He's also extended the 3-for-2 special. For every two rugs you have cleaned, get the third rug clean free. Joe has also added his curbside pickup and delivery service. Leave your rugs out front and we'll come by and pick them up and drop them off absolutely free. Hey, we're all in this together. So remember, a clean home is a healthy home. Call today or go online and schedule your next pickup at JoeHadid.com. That's JoeHadid.com.
For all your oriental rug cleaning needs, just one call to Joe.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
It is the Saturday Morning Update. It's great to have you with us. And classic here from Chuck Schumer. Now, we've seen many, many video, audio clips of Joe Biden, and just not all the dots seem to be connecting at all times when he talks. But this is Chuck Schumer. He's on CNN and pretty much speaks for itself as he tries to explain. Well, I'll let him do it.
I've spoken to thousands of businesses, you know, on these web things.
Web thing. Okay. The web thing. Whatever. That's been making its rounds and gotten a number of smiles from a number of different people. Anyway, we're coming up on the 6:30 news. That's next. Then we're back with Jennifer Harper, and we will talk with Gordon Chang and some very interesting information on the Chinese and how they handle information. That's coming up.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
And in headlines at the bottom of the hour, President Trump is bringing faith leaders into a discussion about the phased return to broader in-person worship after weeks of religious services largely shifting online in response to the coronavirus pandemic. Trump held a call with faith leaders after his White House including hours of worship among large venues that could be able to reopen while observing, quote, strict physical distancing protocols in the first stage of the three-part plan to reopen the U.S. economy. Of course, it has been frozen by the toll of the highly contagious coronavirus. More than a dozen Iowa elected officials have implored Tyson Fresh Meats to close their Waterloo, Iowa pork processing plant. They say the coronavirus is spreading among workers and is endangering not only employees of the plant, but the entire community. Mayors, county officials, and state legislators signed the letter that was sent to Tyson on Thursday. The 19 officials said at a Friday news conference they had only received confirmation from the company that it received the letter, but no other action had been announced. The officials also accusing Governor Kim Reynolds of misleading Iowans on the seriousness of the outbreak and for failure to take action to close the plant. Coronavirus has erupted inside a juvenile detention center in Virginia, where officials said on Friday that 25 kids tested positive. It accounts for about a quarter of all the cases reported at youth facilities nationwide. Children's rights activists and health experts have warned state officials for weeks that it was just a matter of time before the virus took off inside juvenile facilities. They've called on Governor Ralph Northam to start releasing as many children as safely possible from centers, including at the newly hit Bonaire Juvenile Correctional Center. That's outside Richmond. More than half the 97 kids who have tested positive are in Virginia and in Louisiana. And reports that President Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen will be released from prison due to the coronavirus. He will be quarantined 14 days. He's not reported to have the virus, but again, because of prison conditions, he will be one of those prisoners to be released after a 14-day quarantine. 6:33, time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
So far, traffic moving well on the Capitol Beltway this morning. Do keep in mind there is a work zone in effect northbound on Georgia Avenue between Norfolk Road and the Intercounty Connector, and that takes up the right lane. Do keep in mind that the West Falls Church Metro Station will be closed this weekend and its contractors prepare for the summer's platform improvement. In addition to the station closure, the Orange Line trains will share a single track between West Falls Church and Vienna, with trains running every 36 minutes rather than every 30 minutes. Now from GarageJoyPair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
We're starting off this Saturday morning with scattered showers. The rain should taper off late morning, giving way to plenty of afternoon sunshine. But don't let it fool you. We'll be breezy and cool. Highs in the mid-50s. A freeze watch west tonight with lows in the 30s. low 40s east. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
48 degrees, 634 in the nation's capital on WMAL.
You realize that volatility of the markets is reality in today's world of investing. But is your portfolio properly balanced to survive these nerve-wracking economic times? Hi, this is Simon Hamilton, co-host of The Wise Investor Show, heard every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on WMAL. We manage investments for our clients, so give us a call. We think we can help.
Simon Hamilton and The Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated. To reach Simon, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed wise investor.
Hi, this is Elaine Mick, owner of Cabinet Discounters. Whether you're remodeling your kitchen, bath, family room, office, den, or any other room in your home, you'll find almost everything you need for your project when you visit one of Cabinet Discounter's 7 showrooms in Maryland and Virginia. We offer a huge selection of quality cabinetry, a wide choice of accessories and flooring, and you'll discover that we actually manufacture your quartz or granite countertops in our own factory in Mount Airy, Maryland. See some of the fantastic projects we've done in the photo gallery at CabinetDiscounters.com, where you'll also find our 7 showroom locations and hours. Then call for a free consultation with an experienced designer or use the convenient form on our website, CabinetDiscounters.com. That's CabinetDiscounters.com.
Check it out at CabinetDiscounters.com. That's CabinetDiscounters.com.
Cabinet Discounters, great quality, great price.
We're glad you've joined us on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jennifer Harper joins us each week. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times, and a lot to write about this week. Good morning.
Good morning. Very busy week for one and all.
Let's lead off with a non-coronavirus story. Joe Biden has been attempting to remain relevant this week, and he's somewhat painted himself into a corner because many, many people think that Mario Cuomo would make a great vice presidential candidate, but Joe Biden is already committed to a female candidate. What do the voters say?
Well, you'd be surprised with all of this, because indeed, you know, we've talked about this before, that Mr. Cuomo is certainly acting presidential these days, or vice presidential or something. But getting back to your question, a lot of people are still wondering who is Joe Biden going to pick for his running mate. And American voters definitely have their own preferences on this, but they are not necessarily in line with the media coverage, which either picks Cuomo or a female. And voters say that other qualities besides being female take precedence. How about that? This is according to a new voter survey from Politico and Morning Consult. Pretty big survey. It's about 2,000 people, 2,000 registered U.S. voters, and here's what they have to say. The importance of a female candidate is near the end of the list that they gave the voters to vote on. And the voters would actually prefer Mr. Biden choose a conservative or a religious person over both a liberal and woman. How
wow.
about that? Who knew? Anyway, I'll give you some really quick numbers on this. Two-thirds of the voters say it's important for Mr. Biden to pick a running mate who has executive and legislative experience. That makes sense. A whole third say it's important for Mr. Biden to pick someone who is religious. And 31% think that he needs someone who is more conservative than he is. Then along comes 29% who say it's important that he pick a running mate who is a woman. And a quarter believe that Mr. Biden should pick somebody who is more liberal than he is. And 14% say it's important for him to pick a man. So there you go. With all the carrying on about a female candidate and his promises to pick one, voters do not necessarily agree with that.
Okay, so let's turn to the coronavirus story, because there's so many angles. One of them, the media briefings that they're giving, the coronavirus task force each day, the daily briefing, and many of the major news outlets are not carrying them in their entirety, if they're carrying them at all, and that's a story in itself.
Yes, it is. I mean, certainly, probably about 2 weeks ago, there was a great hoop-de-doo about, oh, well, you can't carry the daily briefings because they're really nothing more than a Trump rally, and all sorts of criticisms were coming. And these briefings, they're very informative. They're engaging. They reassure the American public during a very alarming era. And what we're seeing right now is the sin of omission, media style. That's kind of what I'm calling it. But CNN and MSNBC are essentially, according to one analysis, are censoring the Trump briefings. And this is coming from Brent Baker. He is the vice president of research for the one and only Media Research Center, very active conservative press watchdog. And they say CNN and MSNBC repeatedly cut in and out of the daily White House press briefings on coronavirus. And CNN is the most eager to replace the remarks from President Trump, Vice President Pence, and lots of the experts on hand with derisive commentary from its anchors and reporters. And MSNBC also is doing the same type of practice. Well, Mr. Baker managed to tell us how many minutes they're cutting out on these briefings. And he said in a recent broadcast, he found that CNN aired only 69% of the total briefings during a two-week period. And that means in total, they cut out 7 hours and 16 minutes of the briefings. And that's a lot of minutes to be cutting out during a pandemic like this, and lots of alarm out there. And there were similar findings also for MSNBC. But they also found out that a lot of the anchors are certainly carrying on about their own personal feelings. They cited MSNBC's Chuck Todd in particular, who said briefings have a tendency to veer in a lot of different directions, not all of them informative or relevant. If it veers too much, we will break it off. And that's according to Chuck Todd. And, of course, we've got to wonder about Fox News. Well, very good news about Fox News. This is what Mr. Baker has to say about the network. Fox News cut out a few minutes early on 2 days, but otherwise has carried all the briefings in full, airing 1,383 minutes, about 96% of all of those briefings so far. So kind of telling moments here that the media bias and omission and so forth, that's still going on during these very important briefings.
Well, one of the co-stars of the daily media briefings is Jim Acosta from CNN. And you have some insight into Jim Acosta?
Well, I wish I had this. I wish I had thought of this, but I did not. And this is coming from Steve Krakauer. He is a daily columnist for the Fourth Watch, a very interesting site if you don't know about it. And he wondered why CNN White House correspondent Jim Acosta, he continues to engage in this very aggressive back and forth with President Trump, even during a national emergency. And he knows a little bit about Mr. Acosta personally. I'm just going to read to you what he said. This is according to Steve Krakauer in his most recent column. He says, "I don't think Jim Acosta is a bad guy. I worked with him at CNN. He was a solid, competent reporter. If Acosta's goal was to be a great White House reporter, he could probably do it, but that's not Jim Acosta's goal. Jim Acosta wants to be famous, and Jim Acosta clearly aspires to use this opportunity to spar with President Trump." This is what he's saying, Mr. Krakauer. He says, "Jim Acosta loves nothing more than Jim Acosta, but I've also half joked that if we found out years from now that Acosta was actually a plant and was secretly working for the Trump reelection campaign, I wouldn't be shocked." What the columnist is saying, Acosta plays the role of absurd antagonistic journalist and tees up Trump to deliver what would essentially be a campaign message. Interesting idea. I don't think it's possibly true there, but again, this is coming from Steve Krakauer. And he also cited the moment when Yamiche Alcindor recently had an encounter with Surgeon General Jerome Adams over his use of, quote, offensive language. And Mr. Krakauer concludes that exchanges like the one with Acosta and Alcindor during coronavirus briefings are actively helping Trump get reelected. And they also make the press look bad. So interesting dynamic at work there, something to think about.
That's funny. It's been a completely new lifestyle for so many of us with the quarantine, keeping your distance, and I guess along with that, it brings new decorum and new manners.
Well, I don't know where this is coming from, but it's very reassuring to know that not everybody is full of offensive language and trying to engage in arguments with President Trump all the time. And I'm going to cite in particular Mark Cuban. He is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and he is one of the new members of the White House Economic Revival Advisory Council. If you haven't heard all the details, this is a 50-member group that includes, Jeff Bezos is on there. Condoleezza Rice is a member of this. Dan Cathy, he's the Chick-fil-A restaurant founder. And also David S. Taylor, he's CEO of Procter & Gamble, where their corporate mission is, and I kind of like this, improving consumers' lives in small but meaningful ways each day. But let's go back to Mr. Cuban. He had an interview about his thoughts about how we were going to get the economy restarted with Fox News. And he was very candid about it. He said, this is such a moving target that I think the biggest mistake we can make is to rush to a decision. Again, that's coming from Mark Cuban. But they asked him what was his attitude about President Trump. And he said, I'm going to help him in every way I can, whatever he needs me to do. That's pretty good coming from someone of that stature. But I have one more example for you. This is more localized. And we got to have a little shout out here for a couple of very noteworthy private clubs there on Capitol Hill, because they're keeping a very sharp focus themselves on first responders, also the doctors and nurses of Children's National Hospital at the moment. That would be executive chefs Marcus Worley of the Capitol Hill Club and Troy Jackson of the National Democratic Club up there on the Capitol Hill. They are preparing some very scrumptious lunches every day for their our medical heroes. They're also donating and delivering additional meals to very busy first responders. We got to say yay to that. And a quote from John McGill, he's president of the Capitol Hill Club. He said, we are pleased to do this and greatly appreciate the generosity of our food purveyors in making it possible. So team effort there. It's local and it's great. So hooray.
I think a lot of us have been wondering, gee, what are we going to do when the quarantine ends? And you found a columnist that had one of particular interest?
Well, yes, indeed. People while away the hours under quarantine. And according to PJ Media's senior columnist and associate editor, Stephen Cruiser, he says it's time to start working on our post-quarantine wish list. This is directly a quote from him. He says that after 5 weeks of the Wuhan Chinese bat flu shutdown, he has enjoyed some very fleeting moments of optimism. And these are the eight items that are on his personal wish list for after the quarantine ends. He includes a desire to, quote, never talk about toilet paper with another human being again. He also proposes to stop buying things from China. He also proposes to experience better living through Zoom, and you probably know about that, Rick, and eat all of the fresh vegetables he can find, bar none. No matter what they are, he's going to eat them. He also wants to hang out more with his neighbors and accept all of those social invitations that he would normally turn down. And Mr. Cruiser also promises he's going to go to a bar, sit there, and maybe never leave, and go to Disneyland. So that's what one journalist is thinking about. It's just kind of humorous and funny, and maybe we can all think about our post-quarantine wish list.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway. You can follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Have a good weekend, everybody.
6:48 on the Saturday morning update. We've got Gordon Chang coming up next, but first a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, in Great Falls, do watch out for some accident activity on the Georgetown Pike between Towson Road and Bellevue Road. Follow police direction around this incident. Getting reports of an accident on the outer loop after Route 50 in Virginia, so do use some caution there. Also be aware of some road work right now in Maryland on westbound 50 between 197 and Enterprise Road along the two right lanes. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL StormWatch 7 forecast.
We're starting off this Saturday morning with scattered showers. The rain should taper off late morning, giving way to plenty of afternoon sunshine. But don't let it fool you. We'll be breezy and cool. Highs in the mid-50s. A freeze watch west tonight with lows in the 30s, low 40s east. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Rachel Kay in the StormWatch 7 Weather Center.
48 degrees in Washington, 6:49 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and China dominating the news this week from a number of different perspectives, and no one better than to put it in perspective for us than Gordon Chang. He is the author of The Coming Collapse of China, also the new booklet, The Great U.S.-China Tech War, that is now at Amazon.com. Gordon, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Rick.
I follow you on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. So you noted in one of your tweets the increase in the death toll in the Wuhan province, the numbers being reported. They increased the death toll there by 50%, so that added 1,290 on, totaling 3,890. On your Twitter account, you expressed some serious doubt about those numbers.
Yes. Well, probably the deaths in Wuhan are somewhere in the tens of thousands. Some people say 30,000, some people say 40. I've heard 49,000. We really won't know for quite some time, if ever. But when we've seen all of the urns, all the reports of the cremations, and just the anecdotal evidence, they are still severely undercounting the number of infections and deaths.
Help us understand the story this week that many officials seem to be confident that the virus was actually released from the laboratory accidentally versus from the market that so many people had been talking about over the past months.
You're talking about reports that the U.S. intelligence community is investigating the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is a P4 biosafety lab about 20 miles south of that wet market that has been the original suspect as being the source of the coronavirus. There's a fair amount of science that points to that lab. For instance, on January 24th, The Lancet, which is the authoritative British medical journal, issued a report which said that many of the initial coronavirus cases had nothing to do with the wet market, thereby indicating that there was another source. Also, what was really fascinating is that at the end of last month, Beijing opened up wet markets across China, and that's a real indication that Chinese officials do not think that the wet market in Wuhan was the source of the coronavirus epidemic. Otherwise, they just wouldn't have done that. We still, at this point, don't know for sure, but it's looking more and more like an outbreak, an accidental outbreak from that lab.
You point out in a tweet, China is no longer a reliable platform from which to manufacture for the world in an era of rapid deglobalization. Tell us what you mean by the deglobalization and what you see moving forward.
Yeah, I see countries increasing the political barriers to trade, and I see a movement to manufacture close to home. Especially we Americans are talking about that in connection with pharmaceuticals. A large percentage of our drugs come from China, and just that's felt to be a critical vulnerability. There is talk that there is going to be an executive order from the White House, which is going to sort of force pharmaceutical companies to bring back their manufacturing. That hasn't been issued yet, Rick, but I think it will, largely because it seems to be such an important shortcoming that we are relying on a hostile country to make our pharmaceuticals, especially our antibiotics, for us.
So we see the reaction from the U.S. intelligence community. What are you hearing globally? What are other countries saying about China? Are they reacting the way we are?
I think other countries will react the same way we are. We're hearing a new skepticism about China, for instance, in Europe, and I think that's healthy. They may be a week or two behind us, But you got to remember, in our country, we're now saying things, and officials are saying these, and analysts on TV are saying things that would have been inconceivable, were inconceivable a month ago. So the question is, we're moving very fast in changing our perceptions of China, and that's being mirrored elsewhere, even if they may be a week or two behind us.
If you were at the White House in a meeting with the president, how would you tell him to handle China right now?
I would talk about the maliciousness of the Chinese system. We saw Xi Jinping for about 5.5-6 weeks try to deceive the international community into thinking that coronavirus was not human-to-human transmissible, H2H. Xi Jinping had to know that it was, which means that he was lulling the international community into not taking precautions that they otherwise would have adopted. And at the same time, the Chinese leaders were trying to force countries to accept arrivals from China, people carrying the disease. So we've got to understand the challenge that China is posing. It's an existential challenge. I could understand why people don't want to think about how serious this challenge is, but nonetheless, we're going to have to confront this, and I hope sooner rather than later.
Well, that's China. There were elections in South Korea, and they could ultimately have a negative impact on us?
Certainly. On April 15th, South Korea held an election for all 300 seats in its National Assembly, which is its unicameral legislature. Although President Moon Jae-in was unpopular, his Democratic Party of Korea scored a landslide victory, largely because the opposition conservatives were completely disorganized. Now, a day or two after that election, we are hearing South Korean legislators from the majority party talking about nationalizing land in South Korea, also increased investigations of officials, which are going to be politically motivated, as we have seen recently. There's a real concern that South Korea, which was already slipping away from democracy toward authoritarianism, is going to move even faster in that direction. And we got to be concerned because President Moon, it believes in the unification of North and South Korea. And who knows what's going to happen if that occurs.
Gordon Chang, as always, thank you so much. And you can follow Gordon on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you, Rick.
6:56, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. 7 o'clock hour is just around the corner. We'll talk with John Gizzi, White House correspondent at Newsmax.com. Get his thoughts on the Joe Biden campaign, what's going on at the White House, the new Economic Recovery Task Force. We'll have some insight into that. Cheryl Atkinson will join us. She's got an interesting update on the FISA abuse stories that we've been following for quite a while now. Also, a couple of interesting angles on the coronavirus story coming up with Cheryl Atkinson. We've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. We're going to talk about FISA and also the origins of the coronavirus, the intel investigations there. And we'll talk with KT McFarland. She's coming up as well within the hour. And we're going to talk with her about the Trump administration, their plans, how they're handling the coronavirus task force, and also some of her experiences when it came to China in her role as the Deputy National Security Advisor at the White House. So lots to cover in the 7 o'clock hour.
At Hadid Rug and Carpet Cleaning Service, we understand these are uncertain times. But Joe Hadid wants you to know we are open and ready to serve our customers and our community. And keeping you safe is our top priority. So we're adhering to rigorous health and safety protocols, allowing us to continue to keep your rugs clean and safe from dirt, allergens, and bacteria. Because we know how important a clean rug is to the health and safety of your home. Right now, Joe is offering 50% off his sanitize and disinfectant treatment. He's also extended the 3-for-2 special. For every two rugs you have clean, get the third rug clean free. Joe has also added his curbside pickup and delivery service. Leave your rugs out front and we'll come by and pick them up and drop them off absolutely free. Hey, we're all in this together. So remember, a clean home is a healthy home. Call today or go online and schedule your next pickup at JoeHadid.com. That's JoeHadid.com.
For all your oriental rug cleaning needs, just one call to Joe.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m.
The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
WMAL, saluting our first responders and medical professionals.
First responders out there, I want to thank you.
Thank you.
You're very brave. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Stay with 105.9 FM WMAL.
Don't miss the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WMAL. Learn how you can earn a full-time income as a short-term trader. That's the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. The question line is 888-646-8787.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.